Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2008.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich food and choice wines, juicy, rich food and pure, choice wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven over all nations. He will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face. The reproach of his people he will remove from the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken. On that day it will be said, "Behold our God, to whom we look to save us. This is the Lord for whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that he has saved us." For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul.
I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
He guides me in right paths, for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side, with your rod and your staff that give me courage.
I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
You spread the table before me, in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come.
I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, I know how to live in humble circumstances. I know also how to live with abundance. In every circumstance and in all things I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of living in abundance and of being in need. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Still, it was kind of you to share in my distress. My God will fully supply whatever you need in accord with his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father, glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus again, in reply, spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent the servant, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and my fatted calf are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads, and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and all the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to meet the guests, he saw a man not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. The king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet, and cast him out into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
After her week of absence.
I know.
We all missed you, Dawn. And I speak on behalf of all of our listeners, too.
I don't know how you all made it through the week without hearing my melodious voice.
It was difficult. It was. We had Matthew Nathan from the Diocese of Joliet was on with us last week to take your place, but he's still on. You know, it's no Don Burdick.
Well, it's tough to be Don, I gotta say.
It is. It is. So, Don, did you make anything of these readings, or did you want me to start with my reflections, or?
Well, you know, I read them for the first time on Saturday evening to start preparing my thoughts, and I got to the end of it.
Way ahead. That's like somebody who does their homework way early, Don. Were you one of those students?
Well, it was really, I was in church a half an hour early, and so I was
okay.
thinking, not that I didn't pray, but I thought, oh, I have this time, I should, you know, start reflecting. And
right, and well, reading the scriptures is a form of prayer, of course.
Right, yes. And so, but anyhow, I got to the end of the gospel, and I thought, I think I want to be on vacation another week. These are too hard. Because, actually, the readings aren't hard, obviously, but the very last line of the gospel, after the person not dressed in a wedding garment and is thrown out, Jesus says, many are invited, but few are chosen. And so I got to thinking, are we back to this idea of predestination? Is that what Jesus is saying? And so I wondered what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing, because a lot of times you could read that as a predestination line or something. You know, certainly John Calvin would have read it that way, and many of our Protestant brothers and sisters would read it as in a sense of predestination. As Catholics, though, we don't really view it quite in that same sense. Our understanding of predestination is something more to the effect that, you know, God is all-knowing, so certainly he knows what we're going to do, but God doesn't know the way a soothsayer knows or something like that, because for God, he's outside of time, so there's only one present moment for God. So God could certainly say, yes, I know that this person is doing what's necessary to be saved and this person isn't, throughout from an eternal point of view, whereas we're in time, and so it's completely different for us. But in terms of the idea of predestination in that line, what I think he's getting at more is this notion of, you know, we do have our human freedom. And this is kind of how the Catholic Church would look at this in this question. And certainly God makes his will for salvation open for all people. I mean, God wants that all people to be saved. So he's not sitting here doing this, what we call double predestination, where some are chosen and go to heaven and others are damned from the moment that they're created and are predestined to go to hell. We don't believe in that. But we do believe that God has given us a radical free choice. And I call it a radical free choice because the free choice is there even for us to reject God, even if we're standing face to face with God. We still have the opportunity to reject God. And we can do that in many different ways. We can do that, in this case in the story, Christ uses the example of somebody who was called by God. So this person's called in from off the streets and into this wonderful wedding feast, but the person doesn't show up dressed appropriately. So I think what this can be seen as isn't so much a predestination thing, but maybe a warning to us of how is it that you're living your life? God is constantly calling out to you. Are you responding in such a way so that when you show up, you're dressed appropriately? Or are you like the people who are kind of ignoring the call or who are too busy to do the things necessary so that when you get face to face with God, you're going to be not ready, you're not going to be dressed or something like that?
That makes sense.
I think that's probably the, you know, better way to look at it than to say, oh, look at this is an argument for God has predestined some of us. He's invited those. Because otherwise you get into this problem of a kind of a deterministic worldview, but also a problem where you kind of have God who can be arbitrary. And that's really gets to be disturbing when you say, well, he's arbitrarily invited a bunch of people, but made it such that only a few are actually going to be selected to make it in. And he almost seems cruel when he does that.
You know, I just wish the readings were nice and clear sometimes. And perhaps they are, and it's me that adds the confusion to it. And
Well, you know, the other thing, though, Dawn, is I don't think it's just that. I think that that's part of what Scripture is for us, is that there is so much depth to it. You know, I'm giving one interpretation here based on a question that you asked, but certainly if you said this is the only interpretation, that'd be incorrect, because scripture has so many different levels of meanings. There's different ways you can read it. You can read it from a historical point of view. You can read it from a moral point of view and say, you know, what is the moral of this story? We can read it in terms of analogies at times. So there's many different ways that we can even read scripture and many different meanings that we can draw out of it. And so there's no one definitive, you know, this is the official way you should read this particular text. Now, it's also one of the things where we have to say we're thankful that we have a church, because the church helps guide us, and it will say, you know, well, certain interpretations certainly aren't consistent with the overall teaching. And so certainly when we read scripture, it has to be consistent with the overall message from scripture and that has been revealed to us in other ways throughout our history.
You're very right on that. You know, one of the things you were saying when you're talking about how we can read scripture, it reminded me of this website I often used in preparing for this podcast, the Center for Liturgy at a St. Louis University. All of a sudden, that's the right one.
It's a Jesuit university.
So anyhow, it is awesome because you click on which reading, which week you're talking about, and it gives you about four different perspectives, including, you know, the historical context and different people's reflection, a thought from the justice perspective, and prayers you can pray with the scripture and things like that. So I highly recommend that to anyone that before you come to church or after you get home, just take a look at it because it's nice and easy.
Is that something you could Google? St. Louis, I think.
St. Louis University. And the Center for Liturgy.
Okay. Excellent. I'm not familiar with that myself, so I've learned something new.
Oh, you know, I try.
And now I know the secret of Dawn's success here.
Oh, no.
You know, one of the other things I think would be good to point out is with this whole gospel parable is maybe some of that historical sense, since we were talking about one of the ways to read it, is how this would have been historically understood. And of course, we've mentioned several times throughout the year on this podcast that Matthew is writing for an audience that's largely Jewish, but he does have some Gentiles who are starting to come into the community. And he's trying to show that Matthew, or that Jesus's message is consistent with the Jewish teachings, that it's not, I'm starting something completely new here, but it's a continuation of the Jewish tradition, but it's also been opened for all people. And I think that this whole parable is one that kind of says that in a nutshell. We have this king who's sent out invitations to all of his friends or his people to come to join this wedding feast. Of course, that could be seen as God calling the Israelites from the beginning. And for anybody who isn't familiar with the history of Israel or reading the Old Testament, what you learn is that the history of Israel is kind of God calls them and says, you are my chosen people. And then all they do is time and time again turn away from God and fall into sin and fall into error and everything. And God constantly calls. That's right. Well, and that's the history of us too as a Christian people. Is I think, you know, we do the same thing. And so God is, this year is kind of saying, you know, God is continually calling out. And I think the question is, how do we respond to that invitation? Are we like the people who, because we can take this on our own lives too. Historically, it would be the Jewish people. This would be the people who are not responding to that call, that are kind of ignoring the invitation and went away back to their farm, to their business. That's kind of the way the Jewish people responded to God throughout their whole history. And so finally God said, so then I've opened the door, the invitation to just everybody, you know, come, all of you people, you don't even have to be from the house of Israel anymore. And people start to show up, and this would be the Gentile community that starts to come in. But of course, too, when you come in, there's a certain sense of conversion that we're called to. You can't just show up. He doesn't say just show up in your work clothes and come to my wedding feast. He wants you to come to the wedding feast, but he might want you to change into something a little nicer first, so to speak. And I think that's what the story is about, basically, is that the message is there. God is constantly calling all of us. You know, how do we respond to that call? Are we like the people who ignore the call, who go back to our business? Or are we like the people who are called off the street, who rush to show up but don't do any kind of introspection, don't look at ourselves, don't try to make ourselves be converted to a more Christian and holy life.
You know, one of the things I was reading talked about the servants that go and issue this message could be construed as the prophets. And I like that perspective. I hadn't thought about that. So here's God sending out the prophets to invite the people in. And I like that analogy in my mind.
Yeah, I think that's right. Those would be the prophets, and you know, going out as God's messengers, of course, to the people of Israel, saying, and usually a lot of times their message was, you know, repent and convert, come in. And then, of course, you could also see the second set going out for the people on the street as maybe the early church, or the apostles and that, going out and preaching the gospel to all nations as Christ commanded. And Dawn, I can see that we're also coming to the end of our time on the podcast, which seemed to go by real quick this week for some reason.
It's all your interesting thoughts.
I don't know if it's all my interesting thoughts. I think we owe it all to St. Louis University.
Yes, I think so too.
In fact, we should just have them do the podcast for us. No, we'd never do that. But we do have to end today's podcast, and we hope that people will be back to join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.